This is the Playbook Sports Podcast, hosted by Jordan Alfasa.
Welcome back to another episode of the Playbook Sports Podcast, presented by Playbook Sports. As always, I am your host, Jordan. With me today from the Basement Sports Network is Hot Take Harry.
What's going on, man? Happy to be on again.
Harry, how's it feel to be probably one of the most hated people on Twitter?
It's fine. I mean, I just read a book. I forgot the title, but it was all about how being disliked is the key to happiness. So good to go.
Hey, I mean, if people ain't hating, you ain't doing it right.
Yeah.
All right. So the Heat undermanned. We're playing the Boston Celtics. We're down 3-1. We play tonight. As you can see in my thing, it might be Spover, but I don't want to talk about tonight's game. What I want to talk about with you, because you are probably the only man I know that can make it, so I understand it because I'm an idiot. How can we make this team better right now? And I already know the first thing you're going to go with it. So why don't you just get it out already?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tyler Hero experience is over. I would say it's been fun, but I'd be lying. It's been tough. I think he had a really nice trajectory coming out of school, and he was really, really good off the bench. He was a very good sixth man. He ended up winning sixth man of the year. It's not an easy award to win. And, you know, the Heat kind of made this commitment to him, told him he was the starter, gave him this extension. And I think if that's kind of the point at which you could say that was the climax of his Heat career, like, I think that's where it was. It was winning the sixth man of the year, because once they extended him, they kind of locked into Hero as the third guy. We're not going to know everything that happened that was truthful or not, but it seems like they were hesitant to include him in deals for what we can probably all now admit are upgrades. And that hesitation, plus his extension, plus the role they were trying to fit him in that he's just not that great at, I think has kind of put the Heat in a box. And even though they've come very close to tasting glory in two seasons, they came up short. And I think most people are going to look back and have a lot of what ifs with this 5-year run with Jimmy and Hero.
It's sad that I'm finally agreeing with you, because although I don't think he fits here, I still do like Tyler Hero. You know, we got him. He's our guy as of now. We kind of built him into this sixth man of the year, like you said. And it's sad that I'm finally agreeing. But, you know, I think the team within reason kind of withholding, like, trading him, it's because, you know, they're thinking, like, they drafted this kid. You know, he won sixth man of the year. Like, they paid him all this money. Like, they invested a lot into him. So you understand the process of thinking, like, okay, we're going to build this guy to be our third star. Not realizing that, you know, in reality, it's just right there for us. He's not our third star, and it's sad to me, at least. You, it's probably.
Ooh. I asked this in a group chat earlier, Jordan, and I'm not trying to be super controversial, so I apologize if that's not a Playbook Sports thing, but I think Tyler's race had a lot to do with this. Like, how many great white American basketball players are we talking about in the NBA? I mean, who's the best one right now? And when you start going around, and if your answer might be like Austin Reeves or something like that, okay. I mean, there's a debate whether Reeves and Hero are on the same level, but even if you agree or think that Tyler's better, he's making half as much money as Tyler is. So, you know, it gets to a point where the Heat are both hindered by his skill set. He can't be the number one scoring option. And, you know, we've talked about his issues defensively. And then you factor in that he's pretty injury prone. He played about half the games this year. He missed all the postseason last year. And his playoff numbers stink. Like, they objectively are not good. We can talk about the reasons why, or obviously this is a tough go around for them, playing a very good Boston Celtics defense, missing, you know, two of their three best scorers, or however you want to do it. But, you know, he had that amazing game too. I said he played great, but other than that, I think we've just been like, we're waiting for something to happen. And the only consistent trait with Hero is that he's inconsistent. And that's kind of where we're at 5 years into his career.
Alex Toledo said this on one of the Five on the Floor pods. He was like, it's not fair to Tyler because he's not a number one scoring option. But it's like, as of right now, he's kind of forced to be because there's no Jimmy, there's no Terry, Duncan's hurt. Bam, as much as we all want him to be a number one scoring option, that's just not who Bam is. So it's like he's kind of like thrown into this, which he thinks he is. So you would think he would kind of answer the call a little bit better, but he hasn't. So it's, I don't know. I thought it was a good point because, you know, if you think you're in the same tier as Luka and Trey, who are number one scoring options, now is your time to show it. And he hasn't been able to show it.
I think a lot of it is like an expectation issue. The Heat came out and said, you know, hey, you know, it was a quote from Five Reasons a few years back, and they were saying, you know, obviously Ethan was told this from someone within the Heat, and they said, yeah, I mean, Tyler could be Devin Booker, but think beyond that, right? So the expectation already, a couple years into his career, is he's going to be better than Devin Booker. Devin Booker is one of the best shooting guards in the NBA. It hasn't really happened for Hero. I don't see it happening. But when you put that kind of expectations on a player, and you withhold him from trades because you think he's making this leap, but he can't stay healthy. And the team isn't that much better when he plays, which is the point that I think a lot of us in the basement were trying to make for a while. You know, you kind of meet the end of the road. You hit that brick wall. And I think we're there. It sucks because maybe his trade value isn't where it is now, where it would have been 2 years ago after he was sixth man of the year or before he signed the contract. I really think the contract is what's hindering him now because he's making a lot of money to not produce at that kind of level. But I think it's okay to move on. I think it's okay to, you know, I've always said this. I thought Tyler was a good draft pick at the time where he was in the lottery, what he did for the Heat. I think holding on to him and touting him as a player way above his means has been a mistake and has hurt this build.
So we'll move on to the rest of the roster. What can they do? Because I'm not a cap guy. I don't pretend to know about the cap. If you're asking me, would I like to keep Jaime? Yes. Am I attached to him like I was to Hero? No, I've learned my lesson. If your name's not Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo, I will happily walk you to whatever city you are to get me an NBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while, but like the Heat need to choose a path. If the path involves Jimmy Butler and continuing to really try to win a championship, which they talk about every year, which Jimmy talks about every season, if that's the goal, let's move whomever we have to move to make that a possibility. The East is totally up for grabs. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care who gets better this summer. You're seeing it. The East teams are weak. They're weak minded teams. They are not well coached. You can beat anyone in the East. So do what you have to do to get better. Find a new home for Hero. If they want Jaime, I really like him, and I have a couple of his shirts now. Send him on his way. I'll cherish the memories. If they, you know, at the moment, Jordan, we would have two first-round picks that we could trade. We could trade 2024, this upcoming pick, number 15, on draft night or later. You know, so we could agree to a deal and move the guy afterwards. As long as we don't sign him to a contract, there doesn't need to be any type of delay in a trade. So if we work something out and someone wants 15, we can draft that player for them and move them in a deal. We could also trade at the beginning of next year the 2031 pick because that's 7 years out. So you can trade that pick. Those are the two that we have available based on what's going on. They could work something out, which is kind of what I'm thinking. If they need that third first-round pick, they could work something out with OKC and Charlotte. Those are the two teams where picks are owed, where they
I'm over this OKC thing. That's never happening. I bring it up every offseason.
No, I disagree. I think that they have a good relationship with Presti, and if they needed to, I don't know where we're going with this pod, but if a Donovan Mitchell wants out of Cleveland and says, I'm only going to Miami, and they need a third first-round pick to make that happen, I don't see why OKC wouldn't be interested in unprotecting a 2025 pick. Why Charlotte wouldn't want to unprotect the 2027 pick. Then you'd open up 2029 to be moved as well. So That's something that could happen. Maybe you have to throw in a second round pick. I was, you know, getting an argument with people on Twitter about why another team would do that. Listen, man, unprotected picks are more valuable. Even if you think like, oh, the Heat are, you know, the Heat, maybe they'd win more with Mitchell. This Heat team has never taken the regular season seriously. I'd rather the pick confer earlier and I could do something with it than wait on it and maybe the Heat get really good. Like if they make a trade for a star, I'm banking on, I'd want the pick to confer sooner because I think it's going to get better later on. Like for example, for OKC, if the 2025 pick doesn't confer, they get 2026. But if you have 2 years to work in stars, I think the Heat are going to be better. And so why not just take the pick now or maybe the, you know, who knows where they'll finish, but you get the pick. 2025 is a good draft. There's going to be some good guys.
So maybe Cooper Flagg, right?
Is Cooper Flagg number one pick most likely? He's going to go to Duke for a year. And like OKC is a team that's not going to worry about where the pick is per se. I mean, they just gave up. They just did a pick swap with the Mavericks to give up a first. Like, I don't think it's that valuable to them. They have so many. So I could see them doing it. I don't really, you know, they already, if you remember, it was supposed to be a 2023 pick and we switched with them in the Kaze Akpala trade. So I don't think they're that tied down to this pick. You know, I think they like having us over the barrel, but I don't think it would take a lot to get that pick unprotected and open up another pick for the Heat to use this summer.
So what other players on this roster are we looking at, like, potentially leaving? Like, well, like Caleb, for example, we know he's in a contract year. What do you think they do with him? Like, do they let him go? Are they going to try to re-sign him? Because I know he said, like, my priority is to stay here, which, you know, in the, like, before the offseason comes, you'd be like, oh, like, maybe he'll take a pay cut. But in reality, like, money talks.
I mean, I hope he's lying. I don't want him to come back. If he wants to opt into his option for, like, $6 million, great. That'd be a great trade asset to have. But, no, I mean, if he's looking for, like, a three-year deal because, you know, he had the tendinosis earlier this year. He's getting close to 30. You know, if that's something that he wants, more power to him. Let's do the Max Strus kind of sign and trade again. Hopefully someone's willing to overpay and that he can get anything back for him. You know, even a traded player exception, which they haven't used much of recently, but just something of value back from him. Because as you've been saying, I wish they would have moved him sooner. I don't, you know, after he was essentially that, I still believe he should have won Eastern Conference Final MVP last year. You know, when that season ends, I think he should have been moved for something. I think I don't see how a guy's value gets higher at that point. And the Heat continue to churn out guys in the back of the rotation. So I'm just at the point where I don't know what he would have meant to this team where he couldn't have been moved. And I don't know why we're so loyal to guys that we plucked off the street. You know, we have Caleb Martin because J. Cole recommended that we try him out.
I think they should have traded him at the deadline.
Yeah, I think we get to this point where it's like, oh, we can't ruin team chemistry. Jordan, we've been the eighth seed 2 years in a row. Like, it's not that good of a team. We made an unbelievable run last year. You know, it's a run that I don't think will ever happen again. And to bank on it again was stupid. I know they made the Rozier trade, which I liked, and I'm still fine with it. I think that it was simply to open up more options. You could not have let Lowry walk out the door for nothing. You now have a very reasonable contract that you can move if you need to, or he's basically a Tyler replacement. He can do what Tyler does for less money, probably more effectively. So that's why I think Tyler is out the door, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to figure out like what, you know, what moves they do. But I think, like you said, Jimmy, Bam, let's keep them if they want to compete. Everybody else should be out the door.
I'm at that point.
And this should have been last year. This is, again, they just move slowly. Like when the Heat team was the number one, when they were the one seed and everyone got hurt at the end of the year and they lost at 7 at home to the Celtics. It stunk, but my thought was, okay, that, you know, wasn't the way the season ended, but I don't think we would have ever been able to beat the Warriors at that time. I could be wrong.
I think we would have.
Who knows? I'm telling you, everybody was injured. Jimmy had the injury because Pritchard's an ass. Pritchard's an ass. Yeah. Max Strus's legs were gone. Vincent was hurt. Everyone had some type of injury. The Warriors were much healthier. And they really, I know that series went to six, but they really beat the crap out of the Celtics in that series. That should have been the year that moves were made. That should have been the year they said, okay, Kyle Lowry getting hurt in the first round. That's the unfortunate guy of getting a guy who's near the end of his career. He could get hurt. Let's try to move on from him. You know how I feel about Duncan Robinson. He was having the better year this year before the back injury. But I'm ready to move on from him. There are other shooters. There are other guys that can do what he does. We don't need to continue to pretend that this guy making $18 million is necessarily better than two guys making that salary or using him in a deal to do something else. And I think it's time to literally turn over every stone, to look at every option, to see what's out there, to stop being afraid, to take the risk if the risk seems like worth it. If there's a guy they can get for cheap, there's not going to be a Bradley Beal again or something. And I understand why people were against that big of a contract with a no trade clause. But if there's another guy out there who's going for peanuts, and it could be for Hero and Duncan or Duncan and Rozier or Hero and stuff like that combo of guys, they have to do it. They need other guys that can score. They're, what are they averaging? 90 something points a game or less? It's under 90 against the Celtics, right? In their losses.
If we're being honest, man, I haven't even really been watching. The Panthers have been on the same day. And yeah, if you had to choose between the two, which one are you watching?
I've been watching a lot of hockey too. I just think we're kind of like, we tried to do this thing where Heat culture, Heat basketball, let's get these games low scoring. Yo, if you're not scoring 100 points consistently, you're not going to win. Can you win games scoring less than 100? Yes. Are you going to win a series? I don't think so. And I think we keep running into that where the Heat defense is always good because Bam's one of the best defenders, in my opinion, ever. Spo's a great defensive coach, but we need to provide the talent to score. Otherwise, we are going to be continually lapped by other teams. And I don't think they're really going to have a chance if they don't make these philosophical and roster changes.
Welcome to our newest sponsor at Playbook Sports, and that is Parlay Play. Parlay Play is a fast-growing daily fantasy sports platform with a specific focus on player prop parlays. When signing up, you immediately receive $5 free on Playbook. They offer weekly free-to-play contests where you can compete and track your picks against other users, paid contests where users can deposit their own money and enter contests to win up to 75 times their money per entry, as well as play your normal daily fantasy sports. Each first-time depositor is given a first-time deposit match of up to $100 when you use code PLAYBOOK. That is code PLAYBOOK. We'd like to introduce you to our sponsor here at the Playbook Sports Network, and that is Betalytics. Betalytics is a predictive sports betting software for player and game props. Whether you're new to betting or a seasoned vet, Betalytics will help you win more single bets and parlays and take back the advantage from the sports books. Visit Betalytics.com, that's BetAlytics.com to sign up, and when you do, use code PLAYBOOK for 25% off.
So I want to talk about two more things before we get out of here. I kind of want to talk about the cap situation they're in because I know we got a lot of money guaranteed to a lot of guys. And then I want to kind of play around and see if there's some names, maybe teams that we can talk to about adding in pieces because, you know, if they are going to trade Tyler, they're going to do something with Caleb, Duncan. Like, that's a lot of money going out. So you can afford to bring some guys in. If you trade for a Donovan Mitchell – you're going to have guys like, say, Kelly Oubre last year that wanted to come here if Dame came here. You know, you're going to have these guys that want to come play with you for a year cheap to try to win a ring.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we're kind of like. I think for years we've just like, let's make sure we have enough guys where we feel like we can get out of the East and see what happens. And it worked a couple times. You know, we've been very injured. But I think it's time to really get some talent. Like, I think it's time to, if you mention, like, if Mitchell's interested, he's going to have a bit more leverage than Dame had, for example. The Dame issue was twofold. He was locked in for 4 years on his deal. So, yes, he could have done different things, but he didn't seem to want to play that game. And secondly, he had a really stupid-ass GM who just wanted to go out of his way to make sure that he didn't do what he wanted because he had demanded one team. And I think he felt like he was trying to screw up his leverage. Lo and behold, he makes the worst deal out there because he's Joe Cronin, and the rest is history. And every team involved in that deal got screwed, except for the Celtics, who obviously, you know, got Drew Holiday out of them.
Bandits.
Like bandits.
Bitches they are. God, I hate them.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think when you look at that and you're saying like, okay, Mitchell's going to have a bit more leverage. He has 1 year left on his contract. So it's one in an option.
Okay.
So the reason why Cleveland would move him next year is because they're going to say, yo, he's going to opt out or work on a bigger deal. They know that Cleveland can't possibly go the whole year and let him leave as a free agent. That, you know, they would get peanuts and maybe a sign and trade, but they want to control that narrative a little bit. So, you know, if they don't beat the Magic or if they lose in the second round to the Celtics, he's going to want out of there. And it's going to depend on where he wants to be and how he can maneuver that. He's going to have to do a bit better than Dame and his agent. I really think they screwed that up. And the Heat are going to have to be willing to fork over some assets. This cannot be, oh, you know what? Like, you can have, you know, you can have Jaime and Hero, but we're not sure about this first round pick. Or like, I'm not sure about Jovic. Like, bro, you cash in. Mitchell's a perfect player. Mitchell is a perfect player. Him and Bam are good friends. He wants to be here. He matches up well with his timeline. So that works whether you're keeping Jimmy or not.
Uh-huh.
Like, whatever you want to do, he's a player that works here. And they cannot be cheap.
I want to ask, because I had this conversation with Royal before. Hero, Jaime, Jovic. I forgot who the other player was. And then all the picks. You think that's too much for just Mitchell?
At this point, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
They should be willing to overpay. They've played the game where they have tried to get out for the cheapest possible, and it has never worked. This is we're well past where the Heat were winning every deal and winning it at, you know, at a low rate. You need to pay for stars. Free agency is essentially dead. And if you want these guys, you need to pay, because the team's going to turn around and say, listen, Donovan, we heard what you said. You wanted to be a Heater. We went to them. We were like, hey, what do you got for us? This is what they offered us. Like, we're going to move you somewhere else because we got to be, we appreciate that your time here. We want to do well by you, but we got to get something back if we're giving up a player of your caliber. And he might be mad, but I think he understands that. Like, no one's able to both name their team and their price. And I think, like, that's where we're at. So, Donovan Mitchell, maybe we look around. You said other teams. The Pelicans are going to blow it up. Their GM has started to say – I thought he had a good quote yesterday. He said, yeah, you know, we've always been about continuity, bringing guys back, seeing what Zion can do, seeing what this team can do. We have the information. It isn't good enough. So, whether they move Brandon Ingram, because he has basically 1 year left on his deal and a player option, whether they move CJ, who has not been looking very good, but, you know, I think they're going to try to maneuver other guys around Zion and just pray that he stays healthy, because they're not ready to move him. It would be hard to do that based on the game he had against LA before he got hurt. He was dominating them. That was a crazy game for Zion. He was killing them. So I don't think they're ready to move off of him, but I think they're ready to move everybody around him. And if you miss on a star, and maybe you don't want Ingram, I don't know. Do you call him about like a Herbert Jones? I love Herb Jones. Or
they ain't getting rid of him or Murphy.
I don't. Well, they might have to pick one. They're very close to the tax, and they've never paid the tax before. So they're going to have some interesting decisions to make in the offseason. I mean, the pie in the sky, like, we don't really know what he's doing, and kind of like, the thing that I think Heat fans would like, I don't know what the realistic nature of that is, but like, if you call up LA and you're just like, or you talk to LeBron through back channels, and you're just like, hey, What's going on? Are you staying out there? Do you want to continue to lose in LA with AD? Like, listen, man, you can come to Miami. We can spend the second round draft pick on your son. We can get him in a developmental program. We can get him ready for NBA ball. We've done it with much less talented guys. We've done it with Publix bag boys. We've done it with Aldi grocers. We've done it with, people that pump your gas. We can do it with Bronny James. And I just think, like, that's where, you know, they say the key's always under the mat. We'd have the contracts to match. We can throw in some picks. He can get paid at his high salary that he wants. And if you're telling me you got, what, a two-year run of Jimmy, LeBron, and Bam, and you go and get whoever wants to be here and shoot around those guys, give it a shot.
You're a championship favorite every year. I don't care what people say.
Yeah. And so I just think, like, it's time to make the bold move. They've been, in my eyes, Jordan, they've been beyond conservative. I don't think they expected Jimmy to be as good as he is and as he was. I don't think they expected it. I think they were very happy that he fell into their lap, that he wanted to be here, that they only had to give up Richardson and a first-round pick. They got very lucky with all that. I don't think they expected playoff Jimmy. I don't think they expected the guy that they've seen in many of these postseasons. And the fact that he was so good, I think it scared them to make other moves. So they made the Lowry move, which obviously didn't do much. That's really the only offseason trade that they've made in the entire time here. They're watching every other team all around, their Eastern rivals, other teams in the West, making big moves to get better. And they just sat there and were like, Spo will figure it out. And he hasn't, and he won't.
It's not fair to him either. And I hate that.
I know, but that's what they've done. Because if you go back and you look at the Heat of three championships, if you look at those teams, talent up and down the roster, man, up and down the roster. You know, obviously with the big three, you have two of the three best players in the league at the time. Bosch was a perfect fit around them. If you go back to 06, they made the swing for Shaq a year before when they lost in 2005 because of Wade's injury. They went out and changed the entire team. It's still the largest trade in NBA history. What happened to that Miami Heat? Why are we here? Why are we stuck in this, like, we're not mediocre, but I feel like we're just stuck on this hamster wheel of not being willing, like not having the assets to improve, not being willing to trade guys at the height of their value to recoup those assets, not being willing to make the bold move when it's out there. They keep saying, oh, teams keep asking for Bam. Tell them to shut the fuck up and let's talk real business. We have three first round picks. We have whatever you can get for Tyler Hero. We have Jaime. We have Jovic, who are all guys who had great. I think they played well this season, and Jovic really looked good at certain aspects. He's a good young guy to build around. What do you want to make these deals? And let's do it. Let's stop being cheap. Let's stop being stubborn. Let's scour all over the NBA to find the pieces that where we could say, hey, listen, we're a top contender. We're a top four seed, because I think we need to stop pretending the regular season doesn't matter. We're a top four seed. We can win on the road. We can win in any building. We can win at home. Why can't we win at home, Jordan?
Because everybody's late and it fucks with their emotions.
Six straight home playoff losses. I don't care who's out there. That's insanely bad for a team that's always had a pretty good home court.
That's why I ain't fucking paying to go watch them.
Well, I think that might be more of the issue, but I agree with the – yeah, I mean, it's just –
yeah, you might be right.
I just think that's where we're at. Like, who's – listen, man. I live in Palm Beach County. I'm not going all the way down to Miami to go watch my team, you know, score 85 points. Am I spoiled? Yeah, of course I'm spoiled. I went to some of the best games of all time. I've been at some amazing Heat games. Of course I'm spoiled. But why am I not allowed to feel that again? Why am I not allowed to want that again? Why does that make me a bad fan to want to win again? I just don't. When you talk, like, I'm hated because I'm right, I think, is what happens.
Hey, I'm gonna defend you here. I tell like people close to me, I'd be like, you know, Harry gets a bad rap because on Twitter, okay, you do come off as a dick. But then you, like, you know, someone like me, like I've been on a couple pods with you, I've met you in person, like, you're just a nice guy. You just type like an asshole. So do I. I type it all lowercases. Everybody thinks I'm a douchebag.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, there's definitely like a persona that I'm channeling on Twitter, which is not the real me. But at the same time, like, think we get to a point, and I don't think I'm right about everything. That was a joke before. But I think we get to the point. But I think we get to the point where you're doing the same thing over and over again. It's not working. You're too afraid to make the changes. Like, I don't know who's running the ship in Miami, who's making all the decisions, or if it's five guys, you know, trying to come up with it and it's not working. But something needs to change. You need to give Bam the guys around him so that his offensive game can flourish. You need to give Jimmy a 1A alpha scorer so that he doesn't have to do it during the regular season. So if he does take time off, he's fresh in the regular season and we don't have to play play-in games. And I think they have to strike early. I think there's got to be draft night moves. If we draft another guy at 15 and then we don't hear any lingering that he's being moved and we're keeping that guy, I think you need to move on to the nuclear option, which you hate. But I think if that's what you want to do, then you have to think about it.
I can say it.
It has to be a thought. It doesn't have to be done. But if they're going to go youth around them, it's not going to work. And at some point, and Jimmy has now, I've talked about for years how injury prone Hero is. Jimmy has gotten hurt every single season as a Heater, every single year. And not only during the season, he's gotten hurt at the end of the season.
It's because people try to take him out because they can't beat him. Damn it!
I mean, there are so many reasons for this stuff, but I think
being fucking robbed of playoff Jimmy, I'm not happy about it.
But I get the point, Jordan, is that it doesn't matter. It just keeps happening. How do we fix it? How do we make sure he's there so that we can have not only playoff Jimmy moments, we can have Jimmy final moments, and then Jimmy championship moments, like things that we can watch on it's not DVDs anymore, on Blu-rays for years or whatever they're selling these days.
Bitch, Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Legally fucking find it on the internet, damn it.
Or the YouTube videos or whatever we watch over and over. Like, that's what I want. I want a championship for my team. What they're doing is not working. Let's figure out whatever we need to do to get into this. This build is done. Let's destroy it. Let's burn it. Next build. What are we doing? What do we want to do? And that's what they have to consider. And it's got to start tomorrow, right? I'm assuming they're losing tonight. Even if they won and they scared Boston, this needs to be within the next week. What's the plan? What's the move?
It's going to be typical fucking Miami Heat to win tonight, and it's going to piss me off because I know they're going to lose the series, but the idiot in me is just going to get a little bit confident. I'm going to get on my reaction video later. I'm going to have all of Boston coming after me like I have all of Tampa Bay coming after me right now. I am like numero uno, number one hated person in Tampa Bay right now, and I'm fucking loving it.
I mean, yeah, listen, that was I think that's just like the Panthers are a good model for what the Heat should do, right? Everyone was going nuts when the Panthers traded for Tkachuk. They were like, wait a second, you gave up that guy and a first-round pick? For him, you signed him to an 8-year contract. What are you thinking? That not only did that change the trajectory of the franchise, it extended this window so much. Matthew Tkachuk is a superstar. He's one of the best players in hockey. He's a winner. You saw it last postseason. You're seeing it again. You saw it in the Lightning series. Bring a guy like that to Miami. Let him join forces with Bam and Jimmy and see what happens. If you have to give up multiple first-round picks, do it. If you have to take the risk and throw in Jovic, I've seen so much crazy Jovic stuff. Do it. Well, it's just, but here's my thing. A good trade is everyone succeeding. So the Heat getting enough to compete and Jovic going on to have a great career would be awesome for all sides. That's what everyone wants. Then they come back and they want to trade with you again. If you give them scraps, if you give them shit and they don't, and they're like, wow, we got really ripped off, you will never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like this is not exactly what happened, but I think that's what happened a bit with the Dame stuff. They were offering Cronin peanuts, and he's like, "I'm gonna go find like an actual walnut or an actual hazelnut. I'm not settling for your peanuts." I hopefully pronounced that clearly. And so that is kind of what happened. And he said, "Fuck you," and he went away. You got to engage with these guys. You got to make it happen. You got to make the trade, and you got to bring a real winner, a real contender back to Miami, a team that can beat the West, a team that can beat Jokic.
Because we can handle the East with the team we have now if everybody's healthy. But when we get to the West, we're screwed.
And you know, it's you can't have 6'5 power forwards. We need to get, you know, it's time to move on from this. It's time. Small ball is fine, but small ball worked because we had a big guy. Like, small ball worked. Friggin' Shane Battier is amazing. But I don't know where another Shane Battier is coming from. So let's move into the 2020s. We're entering, 2025 next year. Let's get with the times. We are way behind.
All right, so let's quickly, before we get out of here, I wanted to get out of here pretty early. I mean, we kind of had a good conversation. Didn't even realize we're going this long. I want you to tell me the cap situation. I don't know anything about the cap. Can the Heat do anything next year? And then we'll end there.
So they're, like, pretty securely over the first apron. They're going to do whatever. They're never going to go be over the second apron. So kind of the place where, like, the Suns are and the Warriors are, it's so restrictive right now. They're in a bit of trouble. And there are going to be more cap implications for these teams that are over the second tax apron going into next year. You'll see kind of, this will be I've said this a lot, but I'm like really banking on it this year. I think this will be the most movement we've ever seen in an NBA offseason. The cap is uber restrictive. Teams are going to want to dump players to teams that have a bit more space. The Heat might want to, if they want to look to move Hero, if they want to look to move Duncan, if they want to look to move Terry or all three for something else, they might want to look to take back less so that they can move around a little bit more. And I think like that's something that might happen. That was a big reason why the Kyle for Terry trade was a 1-for-1 and they saved $6 million because they needed to get well below that second apron, and that gave them a little more flexibility. So it wasn't simply the contract that gave them flexibility, it's also the money they saved. I would personally do what I could to lower this tax bill even more. Maybe they're paying the tax bill for the foreseeable future, but then that becomes complicated because I don't know if you know this, but if you pay the tax 3 out of 4 years, it becomes a repeater tax. So the penalties become much heavier. So teams like, that's because of Gilbert on Cleveland, because he's a moron and he enacted that after we got LeBron. But for example, like Golden State paid a lot of money this year above and beyond simply salary in tax to put that team on the court. And they were obviously big losers that didn't even make the playoffs. So there's going to be a lot of changes in Golden State. There's going to be a lot. I don't know what the Suns can do, but maybe KD's on the block. I forgot to talk about him. Maybe KD's available.
Not even talking about him anymore.
Well, then I'm glad I didn't mention it. But
yeah, I would have shut it down so quick. I'm so sick of hearing about that fucking loser.
But I'm saying like there are going to be so many teams that are really in kind of cap hell looking to get out. And I think that's kind of where this is a good summer to figure that out, because it's going to be very difficult moving forward. I don't even know if you can – I think if you're above the second tax apron, you can't even add salaries together, which is aggregate salaries.
So, damn, these players really fuck the teams with this.
I don't understand why they agreed to such a restrictive – it doesn't help them, so I don't know what they were doing. But we're kind of in – the Heat are kind of in this place where they're not close to cap hell per se, but they need to figure this out. They need to rearrange the deck chairs a little bit and figure out what makes sense moving forward, because with all the contracts they've had signed, bringing on Rozier's contract, which again, I think was a smart move strategically, but they need to figure out where to go. And this is the summer to do it. There's not going to be a lot of chances after this, in my opinion.
So it's now or never.
It's shit or get off the pot.
You heard Hot Take Harry over there with the white people fucking analogy.
No, you gotta do both. But yeah, this is it, Jordan.
All right, that's all I got. I mean, I learned why I had you on here. You're a good teacher. Am I gonna remember this in about 3 hours when I'm fucking screaming at the TV for why Tyler Hero just misses 12 three in a row? Probably not. But Harry, in reality, we all know the Heat are winning. We all know Tyler's going for 40 and somebody's going to shit talk fucking Royal. It's going to be a fun night.
Do you mind if I do a quick plug?
Go for it.
All right, guys. If you had any fun at all today, I suggest you follow me at Hot Take Harry. You can also see a lot of our stuff. We also do our own pod, the Random Scrub Heat Podcast. I think based on talking with some of my guys, we're probably going to drop a pod on Friday, likely to discuss a Heat funeral and where they go from here. So, yeah, you can catch us there. And obviously part of Basement Sports Network, that's at Basement Sports and on Twitter.
And if you didn't have fun today, make sure to block Harry and you follow Raymond, because I have my own Harry, but mine's not as smart and he's a lot funnier and a lot more vulgar.
I disagree about the funny part, but no problem.
Okay, whatever. All right, Harry, pleasure having you on as always.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'll come back anytime. Sweet.